What is up, everybody? Welcome to Living Word Church Podcast. Wherever you're tuning in from, we believe you'll be encouraged by today's message.
Listen, I want to speak to you for a second. I want to share something out of God's Word to you today. We are in a series called Ingredients of Faith, and we've been talking about these five ingredients, and so we started with belief. And our big takeaway with belief was that belief drives behavior, right? That how do I know what I believe? Well, I know what I believe by measuring how I behave. Even something as simple as, do you really believe that you're forgiven? If you believe you're forgiven, then you'll act like and behave like I'm a forgiven person. And sometimes we can wrestle with that, something even that is so core to the gospel. And, and then we moved into this realm of trust and wanted to really get us to understand. God wants us to understand that it's bigger than just belief. Belief just starts the engine to the car, but in order to get the car moving, then God wants us to trust Him also. And we listed even some areas that are kind of hard to trust God in, because we end up wanting to do it ourselves. So we know He wants to bless us, but then we got to trust Him with our money. We got to trust Him with our time, right? We got to trust Him with our kids. We got to trust Him with our marriage. I know that God has promises and I believe, but then it moves into this, okay, I've got to trust Him in this. And that means that I've got to trust His timing, which is really hard, right? And especially in our culture. And we are a microwave culture. We are a just, you know, scan. I was in the airport the other day traveling to Indiana, and we walked by. I was with one of our elders, and he was like, hey, have you ever been in one of those Amazon stores? I was like, no, I don't even. What is that? And it has something to do with like you can just scan your card on the way in, and you don't even have to, you just grab something off the shelf and walk out, and it charges you, right? Like, you talk about just this instant, you just walk in and grab it and walk out. It's like you're stealing, but you're not. Like, it's, yeah. So, but it's like this, we live in a world that is constantly making things a little easier, quicker, like quicker. I need information quicker. I need the answer quicker, right? How many of you hate it when your cell signal's lagging and you're on Google Maps? I need directions. I'm in Dallas traffic. I need an alternate route. Like, I need information stat. Like, I need it now. But we live our lives that way, which is not all bad. I love the technology, but doesn't it create something in our spiritual walk of, God, I need this now? And then when that doesn't happen, we looked at the life of Abraham a lot. We'll continue to, but we see even in that scenario, the man who was accredited as righteousness because he believed God, he passed his first trust test where, you know, his wife, his partner came to him and was like, okay, I know I believe God's word, but maybe we're supposed to do it. So let's create an alternate so that we can get this done now, quicker. And that's where they settled on an Ishmael instead of waiting for the Isaac. And so I want us as a church family, as we trust God, to know that His timing is perfect, right? His methods are perfect. So that's another thing is His methods aren't our methods, right? Isaiah even says his ways are higher, right? He thinks higher. His ways are different. They're higher. They're better. And so it's real important that we're led by the Spirit, that we trust Him, and how many of you know His will is perfect? And so we've got to rest in that. That's trust. Trust produces, belief produces behavior. Trust produces rest, right? It just does. When you learn to trust, you can rest. Why? Because I'm not trying to figure it all out all the time. Like, there's some things that are in God's column. Now, if my tire's flat, like, I can do that. Like, I don't have to pray, Lord, tell me what, like, I can do that, right? But there's some things that aren't in my column that are in His, and I've just got to trust, Lord, this is yours, right? And I'm not going to try to figure this out on my own. And then we talked about obedience last week. That was the third one, obedience. So if you believe and you trust, obviously the next really application of faith is I'm going to obey, right? Obedience isn't always action, though. Sometimes obedience is not acting. I mean, even Jesus, when He was in the wilderness for 40 days, the serpent came and tempted Him. The devil came and tempted Him. And one of the things he said, if you are the Son of God, then won't you jump off this mountain? And then the angels will come and they'll catch you, and it'll prove that you are who you say you are. And sometimes there's a temptation that we've got to act on things or validate things. And sometimes God's saying to be obedient is just be still. Like, you need to find your security in that. You need to trust Me enough to just not move forward, right? But then there are some times where he does ask us to respond by action. James talks about that a lot. If you look at James, Peter, and Paul, and everything that they said about faith, they're all right, but they all look at it through a little different part of the prism. Paul's mostly about belief, right? Peter's mostly about the trial, the fire, the purification of your faith. And James is more about the action of your faith. And so it does it. They don't contradict. It's the ingredients. All of it is important, right? We got to believe. You're not going to act if you don't believe, right? And but it's all part of it. And so, but we thought we'd take a little bit of a break. Kind of like, if you looked at your notes, if you grab notes, there's a lot of blanks today. And so I'm going to try to get through these without it taking forever. But we just thought it was super important. We didn't want to do a whole series on this, but it's super important that if you're really going to be able to apply all of these things, you've got to be able to hear God's voice. Okay? Because how are you going to believe, right? Even Paul says that in Romans. How are people going to believe if they haven't heard? And how are they going to hear if somebody doesn't preach? And how are we going to preach if they're not sent? Like, there is this application, and we'll talk even some more about this even next week, about hearing God's word and speaking God's word and all of those wonderful things. But today, I just want to just talk about hearing God speak. And the reason why I think this is so important is I don't know if people, I don't know where everybody's at. I have my own kind of crew and circle and camp of people that I've hung out with most of my life, and we all believe that God speaks, and that's in our language. Hey, the Lord or the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart the other day, and it's a pretty like common thing. Like whenever I pray, I'm expecting, whenever I'm listening, I'm expecting him to speak to me, either through his word or through other avenues, but I'm expecting God to speak to me, right? Like, it's not foreign to me, but for some, maybe it's this, even this question is, does God even still speak today? Like, we've got the scriptures, I know, we'll talk about that. It's super powerful and a part of what we're going to talk about, but does God speak? Does he lead us today? You read the book of Acts, and you see visions and dreams, and you see men and women of God that are led literally daily by different directions of the Holy Spirit. I mean, there's several passages that even say the Holy Spirit said, you know, Paul and Barnabas, when they were set apart for the assignment that God called them to go to the Gentiles, they were in a room fasting and praying with other believers, and the word says the Holy Spirit said. Well, who did he say that to? Like, how does that happen, and does that still happen today? And so we want to answer that question. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, the angle that I'm hitting that from is, yes, he speaks. And it's really important that we understand that, that we expect that, that we understand how that works, that we develop the listening ear to the things of God. Because how do I believe? How do I trust? How do I obey if I don't know what he wants? Right? And so I just got good news for you. You kind of feel like, man, I'm in this gap where that all sounds good, but I'm lost. I don't know what he wants. Well, I got good news. He'll tell you. He's going to speak to your heart. And it's funny, when you start talking about things, it starts to happen. It's kind of like when you start looking for that new vehicle that you've been looking at, you start seeing it everywhere. Right? Why? It's been out there all along, but now all of a sudden you're aware. When you start talking about things out of God's word, whether it's healing, whether it's restoration, whatever it is, you start seeing the scriptures. You start seeing, like, you start becoming aware. You start, really, it starts happening. And so that's my prayer. Going back to, you know, Abraham's life, let's just go back a couple of verses of what we've talked about. I've got them here at the top of your notes. Genesis 15:1, it says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Okay, the word of the Lord came to him in a vision. Genesis 15, chapter 15, verse 4, it's written crazy there, but it's verse 4. It says, then the word of the Lord came to him. So I wanted to show you that because we've been talking about Abram and Abraham, and I wanted to just go back and show that this didn't just come out of thin air. It was the word of God. The word came to him, spoke to him, and that's what really gave him the something to grab a hold of that he could believe, that he could trust, and that he could obey. I love what John chapter 10, verse 3 says. It says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. Who's the him and the his? It's Jesus. It's the shepherd of our life. He is our shepherd. And this is a description of what this relationship should look like. As a sheep, I'm following. Who am I following? Hopefully I'm following him, right? This isn't an accident. This isn't just a coincidence that he's even using this illustration. I love Jesus, and I love the word, because Jesus was the master at taking everyday life events in people's lives to illustrate spiritual principles. You know, parables, but farming, sheeping, whatever that, whatever that is. You know what I mean? Like herding. Where's all my sheepers out there? Any sheepers out there? Shepherding. But for us, sometimes it's hard for us to even get what he's trying to say, because our life is a little different and we don't really get it. And, to be honest, I don't know a lot about whatever you shepherding, sheeping, herding. Like, I don't know a lot. I've never herded sheep before, And so it's really hard to even kind of sometimes understand. But these are people that this was their life, and they understood what he was saying. They understood that in their livelihood with their sheep, those shepherds that heard that, they knew this principle, that if I went into the pen, there might actually be sheep from lots of different herds in one pen being held for a certain period of time. And when I come in as the shepherd and they hear my voice, only my sheep will respond. That's how distinguishing that voice is to those sheep, that they know that this is my shepherd, right? And my hope is, as a family of God, as believers, that we'll know our shepherd well enough that I know his voice. That I'm going to follow. Well, who am I following? I don't want to follow the voice of the stranger anymore. Like, that's something that the Bible says that I need to run away from. That when I start hearing those voices, it makes me skittish, because that's not the voice of my shepherd. And it says, I love this, he calls his own sheep by name. It's personal. Sometimes we think we're just part of a herd. We're just going, we're just part of this kind of end times thing, or this timeline of God's plan in the world. And I'm just one number. I've got a little, I've been tagged in my ear. I got a little brand on my, my backside. Whatever it is. Like, I feel like sometimes I'm just part of a herd, but I want you to know you're not. You're personal to him. That he doesn't just call, to the whole family, hey, let's go this way. That there are some personal things that he has for you, and he says, I'll call you by name. I love that term, because it shows intimacy. It shows that I'm not lost in the mix. I'm not just, he has something for me. He wants to lead me. And it says, when he's brought out his own, he goes on ahead of them. Here's one way that you know when you're following the Lord, is you're being led, not pushed. Come on, we'll talk about that here in a second, but this is a great part. Shepherds don't push, they lead, right? This is a part where, the whole illustration here is there's such a distinction of their voice, and there's a trust in the shepherd that when the shepherd calls, he actually can go on ahead of them, and then they'll follow him, not behind them. Sometimes I feel like in my life, he's had to, anybody else, like, he's just pushing me, I've got my heels in. But the voice of the Lord, really, it's a leading, not a pressure, not a just pushing and forcing us into the things that he wants for our lives. He wants to lead us there. We follow him because we know his voice, but they'll never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they don't recognize a stranger's voice. And so I want to talk about a couple of things here. I want to answer a couple of questions. Number one, why does God speak? Why does God speak? And we originally had just really put down one kind of big thought, and that was guidance. But we backed up. I actually had a great conversation with Pastor Jessica, who's in Mansfield today ministering. I encourage you to go listen to her podcast. I believe that this part out of her heart is going to be phenomenal. But she just really brought this out too, and it was this idea that it's not just speaking for guidance, but it's friendship. It's friendship. And I was like, man, that's so good. That's powerful. Like, that's really powerful, that sometimes we think that we can only hear from God, or we'll only go to him whenever we need direction. But God's not just Google Maps, right? Like, God's not just, that's not just the role he plays in our life. Matter of fact, not just from our heart to his, but his heart to you, is we see through the history of God's word, and how he responds to his people. You can go all the way back even to Abraham. And it says this about Abraham in James 2:23. It says, and the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God. It was credited him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. God's friend. That's, I know we're servants, and I don't want to ever make this sound like it's an irreverent approach to God or that we would belittle the king and who he is. But you know, when you just think of yourself as just the servant, then you're only a tool in the hands of God. But even Jesus himself says in John chapter 15 and verse 15, he says, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. That even though he's the king, he said, you know what? I don't just desire a servant-king relationship. I've called you friends, which means I'm not keeping any secrets. Which means that what my Father has downloaded to me, I want to download to you. That even though my ways are higher than your ways, that I can actually show you those ways. I can speak to you. What that tells me is he desires a proximity of intimacy versus just an idea of direction and guidance. That he's more concerned even about his relationship with us than he is about just the outcome of whatever it is we're believing for. Matter of fact, if it doesn't start here, I think it actually hinders the direction. That friendship really is the foundation of fellowship with him. Not just, I need to know whatever it is that you need to tell me, God, but he desires to be friend. I love Exodus 33:11. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. I want to encourage you that if you've never had this type of relationship with the Lord, that he really wants to show up in your life and he wants to get face to face. He's not intimidated by your sin. He's not intimidated by whatever it is that you feel like has disqualified you from this relationship. The blood of Jesus is powerful enough to bring you. Come boldly before the throne. Not stay distant and scream shouts of Hail Marys to the Lord and hopefully he'll hear. That shows proximity. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Come on, let's be face to face with the one. I love when Jesus died on the cross and he said it's finished and the sacrifice was pleasing to the Lord. What happened, right? The veil that used to separate men from God. Come on, the veil that was meant to protect us from the glory because it would kill us. He said, I've longed so much. He didn't just come in and just, you know, he didn't give instruction to come in and just, hey, you guys come in and pull the veil down. He did it himself. It was ripped from top to bottom. That whenever Jesus finished the work, the Lord ripped that veil from top to bottom. And I love that it says that because if it was ripped bottom to top, we could say man did it. But it was ripped from top to bottom. That tells me God did it. That tells me that his passion was to remove the veil all along. So let's don't fellowship with the veil anymore. Come on, let's remove the veil because of what Jesus has done. Let's just say, you know what? How would you talk to a friend? How would you encounter a friend? How would you relate to a friend? You'd be honest. You'd be transparent. You know, in here, you can fake it. You know, and maybe we should sometimes with some people. You know, I mean, I'm just saying, like, maybe you should put the mask on because everybody doesn't need to know your business in this gathering. But how many of you know there are people that should? But how many of you know that he should? That in prayer, it doesn't have to be all just formal, ceremonial, you know, just fake talk. Like, you could tell him, you know, life, you know, sucks right now, God, and maybe that's not your word, but like for me, like sometimes there's a friendship part of that. I love the people that I have in my life that are friends that I can visit with and talk to. And it is a incredible, incredible thing whenever you've got this relationship with the Lord. Amen. So friendship is important. Number two is guidance. Guidance. Why does God speak? He speaks out of friendship. He speaks for guidance. And there's three things here I want you to write down real quick. And that's this: direction, correction, and confirmation. Direction, correction, and confirmation. So if you need directions, if you're trying to get somewhere, right? We talk about traveling, you know, in Google Maps, and you're trying to find somewhere that you've heard about. You've heard about this famous restaurant, and you just can't wait to go. You saw it on you know, the Food Network, and you're like, man, I've been craving this, you know, incredible hamburger, you know, for months now, and I want to go. And so you're going to load your family up in the car, and you're going to type it in to Google Maps. But what if you didn't have Google Maps and you just knew the city, right? You just knew. Remember the day when that's all you knew? Anybody remember that? Do you remember like the laminated fold-out maps? And like the gray roads on there that were always a gamble. Like, it's a gray road. I think it's going to get me there. But it, like, we've got to be willing to count the cost. It could be a dead end. We got to turn around and come back. Let's do it. You know what I mean? Like, it could save us 30 minutes. And so we're gonna risk it, right? And it's gravel and potholes. And it's people's backyard. It's pasture land. Like, you're driving through people's yards. But it's gray roads on the map. But I remember those days. And I remember the day of having to ask for directions. Not that I did it very often, because I just have this instinctive compass on the inside of me. But I remember the day of having to ask for directions, of like stopping at the gas station, coming into town and being like, hey, excuse me, sir, do you know where, you know, Bill's Burgers is at? I do. And what you're going to do is you're going to go down three lights. You're going to hang a left, right? There's going to be a red barn on the right. You're going to turn right there. And then Miss Johnson, she lives right there on the corner. There's like a lion statue in her front yard. You're going to turn left right there. And then Bill's. It's like all these landmarks and right, all these things that you go through. Well, that's direction, right? And the Lord will speak to you, and he'll give you direction. He'll give you landmarks in life, and he'll give you direction of how to get where he wants you to go, right? But then there's correction. And because sometimes this compass gets off a little bit on the inside, every now and then, it's like you miss the turn, like you passed the red barn. You didn't see Miss Johnson's house, and now you're 4 miles out of town, and you should have. So what happens is then you stop and you ask somebody else, like, hey, this is what I'm looking for. And they're like, okay, you're close, but you missed the turn. So what you're going to need to do is you're going to need to make a U-turn, go back 3 miles, and then where you miss it is this. You need to turn here. What's that? That's correction. How many of you know the Holy Spirit wants to correct us? That when I've missed the turn and I've missed that moment, he speaks and he says, he's like Google Maps, make a legal U-turn. You've missed it. Like, you need to turn around now, right? And so there's correction, which are great because it's warnings. It's like, hey, don't go this way anymore. Now, sometimes it's as innocent as we just seem to miss a turn, but sometimes we've just been determined, I'm going this way. But in his kindness, he says, warning, right? Bridge out. Warning, right? This road doesn't end where you want it to end. You need to turn around. I'm telling you, in a loving way, it's time to change direction. And we could call that repentance, right? Isn't that what the word repent means? It means to change your thinking. Right? To say, you know, I'm tired of doing it my way and driving. I'm tired of, you know, following all the gray roads myself. I need some help and some direction back to where God wants me to be, because that's where God's got some things for me. And then there's confirmation, right? And so we know this. If you've lived in the South or you've driven rural country roads, right, and you've been trying to get somewhere, and you've been on this road what seems like forever, it's dark, right? Love bugs are hitting your windshield, and June bug pop, like it, you're just driving. There's no street lights. There's no houses. And you're just on this road and you're thinking, have we missed a turn? Like, I know they said go this way, but it just feels like I've been further than 10 miles. I feel like I've been 100. And then all of a sudden in your headlights, as you're coming over the hill, you see the sign, right? And it says, you know, Billy's Burgers 4 miles ahead, right? And you're like, okay, we're on the right track. The Holy Spirit will encourage you, and he will inspire you, and he will tell you, keep going. Like, I know it seems like you've been on this road forever. I know it seems like you've been following these directions forever, and you just feel like it has just been too long. Like, surely I've missed a turn. Surely I've missed it. Surely I've missed the direction somewhere. And the Holy Spirit will come in, and he will confirm, and he will inspire you to say, don't give up. Man, Lord, I've been doing this. I've been doing what's right. I've been tithing. I've been giving. I've been generous. I've been serving. I've been kind to my wife. I've been kind to my husband. I've been doing all the things. I've been doing them. And Lord, it just seems like I'm just not arriving where you want me to. And the Holy Spirit will come and he'll say, just don't give up. Come on, keep going. Right? And so there's guidance that he speaks to us. And it's really important that we follow that. How does God speak? We're going to speed this up. How does God speak? The first thing I want you to write down is spirit to spirit. Spirit to spirit. And so just kind of a real simple breakdown is you are a spirit, right? You live in a body. You have a soul, but you are a spirit, right? Your spirit was dead. When you received Christ, your spirit was made alive. And God is a spirit. And so it just, sometimes it's so hard for us to understand how this works. But when you just understand that, you're a spirit, God's a spirit, that when God speaks, one of the things he's going to do is he's going to speak spirit to spirit. Now, this is going to show up in a couple of different ways. It could be whispers, like those, just that still small voice. Like, I don't know where this came from. Why am I thinking about so-and-so? Why are they on my heart today? Why am I even praying about this today? It's the whispers, right? It's why am I concerned about my kids right now? I feel like everything's great, but why am I concerned about that? It's the whispers. It's nudges, right? It's whenever I keep ignoring the whisper and the nudge begins to start, right? It's the, you know, hey, pray for that person. Yeah, but I don't know that person, and they're going to think it's weird. But then the Holy Spirit nudges and keeps nudges and keeps nudging, and then you miss it, and then like, and then like 2 days later, you see the person again and the Holy Spirit nudges and is like, hey, what is that? It's that nudge of it's so it's this inner voice, spirit to spirit nudging. And it's the peace of God. Like, how does God speak? He'll speak by peace. A lot of times if I'm moving in a direction I don't need to be moving in, that peace will leave. If you're in confusion and anxiety, that's probably not where God wants you to be. Matter of fact, it says here, I put this scripture in our notes right here. It says in Romans 8:16, the Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our heart. He tells us that we're God's children. But I want you to see that there is a level of this voice that's deep in our heart. I can't even explain it all the time, but I just know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. I love Romans 8:26. The Spirit helps us when we don't even know what to pray. He helps in our weakness, and he instructs us by the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to say this. I know some of y'all, I don't know what background you come from. I'm a big believer in all the gifts of the Spirit. I believe in what God's Word says about the gifts of the Spirit, and particularly, you know, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, whatever you want to call it. But I've had some incredible moments where I feel like the Lord has really spoken to my heart in things that are definitely spirit to spirit. And it was with the help of the Holy Spirit, by just praying in the Spirit, by praying in the Holy Ghost. And just, Lord, I need you to speak to my heart about things. And he will come in and he will speak to your heart when you make place for him to do that in your life. The second thing that God will do is God will speak to us through his written word. Through the written word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. God wants to speak to you through his word. I love that you can read the word of God and that you've read that passage of scripture a million times, and then all of a sudden it's illuminated. Like all of a sudden, like I didn't ever see that before. I didn't know that was in there. Well, what is that? That's the Holy Spirit also speaking through the word of God, right? That he doesn't just speak spirit to spirit. And we'll talk a little bit more how these things actually align with each other. But God wants to speak to you through the word. I'm famous or notorious for being able to read through like a whole chapter and then like, what did I just read? Anybody ever done that before? Right? Like, or just not understand it. So let me just encourage you to do this. Find a translation that you can understand. We'll talk about theologically right it too, but there's ways to make sure that that's actually a part of it. But I want to encourage you first and foremost that to get the big picture, you ought to find something that you can understand, right, and read it. and read what God's saying through his word, because it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. He authored it, not just for one generation, but for all of us. And it is life to us, and it speaks to us, and it is promises that I stand on. Why are you believing for that? Because God's word says that. Why are you standing like that? Why are you not giving up? Because God told me in his word that I can stand on this. I don't always have to have an audible or inner voice. Like, I can go find his promises and his will and his word, and it gives me the grit, and it gives me the faith, and it gives me the trust that I can rest in that, and I can stand on that, and I can hold true to that. Why? Because it is absolute truth. And he speaks to me through the written word. The other way that God speaks to us is through other people. Other people. So I'll hear God speak to my heart. I'll hear God speak through his word. But one important thing, and one thing about hanging out with the family of God is that people will come up, and then they, you know, I encourage this even in like our Monday night prayers especially. Listen, if you've got something on your heart for somebody, you need to let them know, because that might be the word that they needed. That might be the confirmation. That might be the correction. That might be the direction. Whatever it is, we believe in other people being used by the gifts of the Spirit. Come on, to speak into other people's lives. Last part, and we're going to close with this. How do I know if it's from God? How do I know if it's from God? The first thing is does it line up with God's written word? Right? So be careful of the, you know, the pizza voices. Be careful of the stuff that, you know, it just makes you feel good. Like, how do I filter what's going on in my heart and know that this is from God? It's got to line up with this. The Holy Spirit will not speak things to your heart. He won't send people across your path and can speak things over you. He won't nudge you in directions that don't line up with God's word. If it violates his word, if it violates his principles, if it violates, listen, the things that we know he's spoken to us through the word, then we know that that's probably not from God. And if you don't know if it does or not, put it on the shelf until he shows you. Okay, so there's times where I feel things in my heart, even as I'm praying in the Spirit, and I'll feel like God's speaking some things to me, and I'll say, you know what, God, I need you to show me that in your word. Like, that's what I'll say. God, I believe it, I know your voice, but I need you to show that to me, because I need to just make sure that that's not me. I need to make sure that's not just, you know, last night's lasagna, you know, or whatever. Like, I want to know that. I want to see that. You know, you have a vision or a dream about something coming to pass. Those are great. Well, how do I qualify that as being God? His word. It all comes back to his written word. So don't ever think that we're ever teaching or encouraging you to violate anything outside of this. Listen, I've seen a lot of crazy things in the church, and sometimes we could have avoided some things if we would have just gone back and said, okay, is that in God's word or not? Right? Is that God's word? All right, and then does it produce peace or confusion? Does it bear witness with your heart? God doesn't want you to fear. God doesn't want to bring confusion. God doesn't want to bring turmoil to your life. I'm not going to say that there's not some things that he says that doesn't make my mind tilt a little bit. But even in the tilting of my mind, there's a peace, right? Because I recognize his voice and it bears witness. Right? You know what, God? Like, that is kind of scary to think about. But I have a peace because I really feel like this is you. And it bears witness with my heart. And it doesn't bring confusion. I don't even have it all figured out. But I have a peace that passes all understanding. And then the last thing is does godly counsel. Let me just back up real quick. Let me back up. I'm sorry. I want to give you one thing. I wrote it down this morning as I was preparing for this, and I have it written here. Going back to God's word real quick. Does it line up with the whole counsel of God's word? You can find a scripture that'll back up anything. And this leads us to this last one too. We're not all theologians. I get it. We're not. And there's gaps of what we understand and things, but the Holy Spirit will show you. And it's important that we find the whole counsel of God's word says this. There are denominations that have camped out on a scripture or two that is not the whole context of what God says on a subject or this or that. And they've made it this like legalistic or rules or dogmatic because of one passage of scripture that if you would unpack it, you would see that this is not the whole counsel of God's word. Let's look at what God says about this throughout his whole word. And let's see what God has to say about this. And then here's the thing. This brings us to this last part. This is why we need godly counsel people in our life, because there are other people that can help bring that into focus. They can help us by revealing some scriptures and some things. They can help us in our weakness when I think this is what God's saying, and they may either be able to confirm or maybe paint a little bit bigger of a picture of what God could be saying to us, because you can miss it by just focusing on one thing and not having counsel around you. I love Jeremiah 3:15. It says, "Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will lead you with knowledge and understanding." It's so important to be a part of a gathering, but it's greater than just a gathering. It's important to have leaders and shepherds, not that just tell you what to do, right? Not to just command and control, but to inspire and to empower and to say, you know what? God's got functions in the body of Christ that help us stay protected, right? To hear what God's saying, but lead us in a way that's pleasing to God and to his word. Amen? So God wants to speak. God wants to speak. I want you to close your eyes for just a second. I want to pray over you today. I know that was more teaching and it was just a little bit more content, but I think more than anything, we just wanted to pause for a second and hopefully walk out of here with this idea that maybe you hadn't thought about in a while, but God, are you speaking to me? What do you want to say to me? You know, are you building in time in your life for God to speak? Are you quiet enough for him to speak? You know, and then, Are you expecting that to happen? One of the things that I really try to do, even when I go into prayer times or worship time or I'm just spending time with the Lord, I try to always make sure I've got a pen and paper. Sometimes I leave with it blank. But a lot of times I do that because I just want him to know, Lord, I'm expecting, and it's so important to me what you say, I want to write it down because I don't want to forget it. And so I want to encourage you to start living your life. Come on, expecting God to speak. Right now, as we've been talking, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you today?
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you want to get more connected, text NEXT to 62488 or go to our website, mylwc.church. We hope that you have an amazing rest of the week.